Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad you guys are with me on this Thursday. So, again, no live stream tonight because I will be in Oxford at the College Corner. Hope to see some of you there. By the time you're listening to this, the show will probably be over, but that's okay. I'm bringing to you today a one-on-one conversation that I had earlier today with Furman head football coach Clay Hendricks. He was really kind with his time, about 20 minutes talking about his program and the legacy that he's building there. And, you know, we talk about his offense and what he sees out of Ole Miss and things like that. It's a really good conversation from a really good football coach. So hope you guys enjoy that on this edition of the Rebel Report presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We know that in life, injuries are sometimes unavoidable. They should not happen. We hope they never happen, but sometimes they can to you. If you've been personally injured, or you may have like a small business situation that you need legal help with, or a contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. 662-397-9799. That's the phone number. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, bringing you the Rebel Report. Also, don't forget to follow me on social media, Twitter, YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And wherever you get your podcasts, if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, to search Rebel Report wherever you get them, and leave a rating and a review. If you're listening in podcast form, don't forget to hop on over and subscribe on YouTube as well. Like the video, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Thank you guys for being here. And here that interview is right now. No more delay. My one-on-one with Furman head football coach Clay. And we're joined now by Furman head football coach Clay Hendricks. And I spared the audience the fanboying that I did before we actually hit record here, as they know that they hear me talk about it too much, that I grew up on Furman football. Furman football is why I love college football. And so it's actually going to be really cool for me to see you guys take the field in Hemingway on Saturday, kind of a full circle moment for me. But before we get into this game and this season, I do want to look back at last year. You know, really good team. Again, had a home playoff game that you won. Difficult overtime loss on the road. You know, I'm sure that you had goals that extended beyond where that season ended, but I imagine that you were really proud of what that team was able to accomplish a season ago.
I was proud. You know, coming off a really good team the year before, we were picked to win the league, which I think is sometimes a really hard thing to do, to be picked and be able to go win it. Got it, had a good run. Yeah, we got a little – I wish we could have stayed a little healthier later in the year, but went out to Montana, played in an unbelievable environment, great game, got into – scored late, was going for two to win it, got a procedure penalty, kicked it, went into overtime, ended up losing in overtime. But, I thought we had a team that was as good as anybody in the country, and, I think that's what's a little unique about the FCS level and the playoffs. You're having a chance to go compete for a national championship. And, that's kind of our goal here. And, win our conference, get in the national playoffs, and have a chance to go compete for a national championship. And so was really proud of that team. We had 41 seniors, which is kind of hard to believe. We've had incredible retention here. But we've got a pretty good mixture of veteran kids with some talented young guys. Our formula is a little different here for success, and but I'm excited about this team and kind of what lies ahead.
And so when you took over a few years of struggle there at Furman before you got the job, and you started winning basically right away, but doesn't it feel like, especially these last couple of years, at least from my outside looking in perspective, it feels like Furman football is back. This is what Furman always could be and what they have been. And it's kind of like they're back exactly where they belong at the FCS level, which is right up there at the top.
Well, that's where we wanted to be. We came back. We the thought was we want to be a perennial top 10 team. I think, you know much about our history. We've won 15 conference championships since 1978. I think I've been here for 11 of them, three different stints you know, between my time as a player and assistant, now as the head coach. But, you know, we have our own unique challenges here with, you know, we have high academic admission standards. We're an expensive place. So it creates its own unique set of challenges. But we have an awesome young man to coach, and we've proven you can be great academically and win football games. And I think we do that about as good as anybody in the country. And, you know, that's the goal every year. And so that's the goal for this year as well.
So you mentioned the admission standards at Furman. And there's this new age in college football where, and we'll get to your game against Ole Miss in a second, and the differences in how they're able to build a roster and, frankly, the resources that it takes to build a roster like they've got. With you guys, you don't really use the portal all that much. I mean, a colleague in your state, Dabo Swinney, doesn't use it at all, but very little portal activity incoming players from your perspective. Is that strategic, or is that part of what you mentioned? Just the academic standards kind of limit your ability to just go in and kind of pick players out of the transfer portal the way you might want to?
Well, probably a little bit of both. I mean, I'm not immune to the portal, but it largely is, you know, even for a kid to transfer in here, it's really hard to get a transfer in here just to get them, you know, transferable credits as such. I think, you know, we're coming this week and we'll have two undergrad transfers on our whole team. One of them's kicker. We have very limited graduate options. So we're a place that needs to recruit at a high level, retain at a high level, and develop players. And, you know, we've been largely been able to play with old kids. Our retention, again, you know, I think one of the things I've taken most pride in is just our retention. I think kids truly love, I think they love going to school here. They love what we're about. They love being in the weight room with our guys, who they have as teammates. I just think, you know, that culture word gets thrown around a lot. You know, I hate what's happening to college football. I mean, we're playing a professional football team this weekend, you know. And it's, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And that's the rules they set, so we'll go by it. But, you know, for us, it's just been, again, retaining guys, play with older guys. I think we played maybe three freshmen a year ago. We played two maybe the year before that. We'll have a couple more, but again, we've been able to retain kids, and kids here, I think, truly value the education and the preparation they're getting for life beyond the time they spend here. And you hope certainly football has a big part of that. And yeah, you know, we got kids, our kids are off doing all kinds of great things, you know, and med school, grad school, law school, you know, working in the business world. So Furman does a phenomenal job of preparing them for that. And, you know, a lot of people use that as a crutch sometimes from a football standpoint, but, again, we want to be the best, you know, even our university, we want to be the best mid-major academic athletic combination school there is anywhere. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's kind of what our mission is here. And certainly this is my 31st year associated with Furman. And so I take a lot of pride in that as well. I'm married to a Furman grad. Greenville's, as you know, it's I know even when you were here, how it has changed for the good.
Hardly recognize it
anymore. You know, for the good. So, you know, again, we've got our own unique set of challenges. Everybody has them. Every family has them, you know. And so we just try to control what we can control. But we have an unbelievable kid to coach, and I know I truly value that.
And in your own right, you have an NFL presence. I mean, Furman does send guys to the next level. You do play really good football there at Furman. But you made reference to it. This Ole Miss roster has been nationally pretty popular, not only in the preseason rankings, but, you know, the transfer portal players and things like that. Ole Miss is getting a lot of attention nationally. Lane Kiffin earlier this week did make reference, though, to, I mean, Furman's going to come in well-coached and ready to play and not be scared, because last season they played South Carolina, and ultimately you guys fell short in that game. But Ole Miss noticed that it was a tie game in the second quarter. And especially with Furman in the past, I mean, there's a not-so-distant win over UCF at the Bounce House. I went to a game at North Carolina where Furman should have won that game that day. I mean, there's a lot of success with Furman playing these Power Four now teams. So how do you approach preparation for a team like this with yours that features what could possibly be multiple first round picks. There's the head of the Senior Bowl says that there's over 20 draft gradable players on this Ole Miss roster. How do you get your team prepared for something like this?
Well, I don't think we prepare anything any differently. Obviously, they all, you know, and this team compared to the South Carolina team is not even, I don't think it's even close, you know, talent-wise. I actually felt like that was a game last year with our team and their team. We could really match up well, and we did. And then what happened, we got into a game, and, you know, I think it's 14-14 game right before the half. They make a fourth down conversion, and then we bust it. We bust a coverage, give up a big play, and then, you know, we let it get away from us. We got three or four no calls, and then we let it get away from us. And you know, it's one of those games. You know, I really felt a year ago if we could play remarkably well, we could win the game. I think this week's one of those weeks you got to play remarkably well just to try to compete. But that's how we play. You know, we're a team that – you know, I think the makeup of who we are, you know, we stress we don't want to beat Furman. And you beat Furman by turning the ball over, penalties, missed assignments. And, yeah, we're a pretty disciplined group. I like to think we are. And those are things we will have to do to have any kind of a chance to go in there and compete. But I don't think the environment – I didn't think the environment – it was sold out in Williams-Brice last year. 2 years ago, we went to Clemson. Actually, I thought one of the teams – one of the games we played really well – against a really good team. But I can also remember going to Clemson in 18, and I think the four defensive linemen were all first-round picks. It was Trevor Lawrence's first game, and I think we had two freshman quarterbacks. So these games for me over the years, something's got to be helping you in the matchup. You know, maybe they're struggling at quarterback. Well, Ole Miss isn't struggling at quarterback. So, you know, that, you know, really probably you'd like to have somebody that's struggling to find a quarterback. And I think that was the difference a year ago. You know, Rattler, you know, he made a few plays that I hoped he wouldn't make. Mm-hmm. But they're certainly not struggling there. I think that one of the biggest challenges this week has been, you know, they had a really, really good team. Got a lot of guys back. I know they lost some guys. But, you know, you watch the tape, you don't really know who else they've got to plug in other than who you see they've taken. So, you know, you're still watching schemes, you know, on both sides of the ball. Yeah, you can prepare for a quarterback, but, man, he can hurt you in so many different ways. So I think probably that's a little bit of the unknowns this week. But I just don't think the environment's going to be too big for our guys. But, you know, can we get some stops, and can we stay on the field on the offense? Can we find a way to score some points? Because, you know, they're going to make some plays. And, you know, we just got to be able to handle some adversity. And there's adversity in every football game. And there'll certainly be some Saturday night, I'm sure, for us.
And so you made reference to it. I've always been kind of curious. And I'm afraid of this question sounding condescending. And I hope you don't think that I am. But Lane Kiffin, when he was at FAU, was on the Dan Patrick Show. And Dan asked him, like, hey, they were playing at Ohio State. And he was like, hey, you know, you got a chance this Saturday? And Lane goes, Dan, watch my team get off the bus, and then watch them get off the bus and tell me if my team has a chance this weekend. Always, that quote always stuck with me and made me laugh. But you said earlier, you know, Ole Miss is basically a professional team at this point. How do you talk to your team about that? Like, understanding that, look, the goal is to win every game, but in this case, there's just a possible mismatch here. Do you talk to them about that at all? Or is it just, hey, the goal is to win, play the next play, focus on yourself? And how do you approach a game like this with your team?
Well, I think it's control what you can control. You know, and I told them, I think the best thing we've got going for us on Saturday night is they can only put 11 out there at a time. You know, they can put 11 out there. We can put 11 out there. And can we go win some one-on-ones? I think our game's largely made up of one-on-ones anyways, much more than people sometimes think. You know, can you win some one-on-ones? Can you win those individual battles? And that's really all you can control. I mean, you know, one thing about it, Furman kids are smart kids, you know, so they understand. They understand that aspect of it, just like I felt like they understood last year. We had a little better chance to match up. You know, even though we weren't going to match up, but we felt like we could. And I tell you, what's great about our game, what's the greatest team game, you know, sometimes you see some strange things happen, you know, in our team sport, you know, finding a way you know, to try to hang in the game. Because certainly the more you can hang in there, the tougher it gets for the other side. I mean, we've all been on both sides of those games, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, for us, it's again, just trying to, you know, play to the standard that we set for ourselves, which is pretty high. And, you know, I want us to play well. And if we play well, everything else takes care of itself. And again, this is most important game of the year for us because it's the one we're playing this week. But in probably in the grand scheme, it's probably the least important game on our schedule. So, but, you know, we take a lot of pride in how we play. We are a proud program here. And, you know, I think you'll see it in how our kids play, how hard they'll play. You know, we just go back to fundamentals, and we just got to be exceptional in the fundamental area. And again, we'll take what comes with it. Can we finish plus in turnover margin? You know, those kind of things. Can we get some hits on the quarterback? You know, we got to find a way to hit him. Get, you know, clean hits, but just find a way to get to the quarterback, whether it's pressures, whether it's winning some one-on-ones. He's a runner. You know, they're going to run him some. I think that's going to happen. But, you know, the difference in them, they just have so much they just hurt you in so many different ways, particularly from an offensive perspective. You know, so certainly a great challenge for us.
If you were to describe what you guys do offensively, so Mike Leach, rest his soul, here in Mississippi, he ran the air raid. That is what he did. Now at Mississippi State, they've got more of like a run and shoot style of offense. If somebody were to ask, hey, what is Clay Hendricks' Furman? What is their offense? Describe it to me, like the elevator pitch.
Well,
what would that be?
You know, I spent 30 years as an offensive line coach. I always had a little bit of option in my background. You know, I spent 10 years at the Air Force Academy, which was a great equalizer. And yet, same time, we had the same kid that we had out there. 2 years ago, Justin Roper, this is actually Justin's third year as our offensive coordinator. You know, we've kind of progressed from being a two-back, a lot of under center. I don't know what we were, you know, gun versus to more of a true spread football team. A lot of RPO. You know, we want to run the football. We want to run football. We want to be a play action team. And certainly you're going to see some drop back stuff. But, you know, you're not going to make a living in these games trying to drop back and throw it and think you truly can protect. You know, so can we have the ability to run the football? You know, we had a quarterback who's player of the year a year ago who was a – I don't say necessarily a run first guy, but he made a lot of plays with his feet, a little more limited in some of the things we could do in the passing game. These guys are a little different. I think their ability to stretch the field a little better at receiver. But, you know, we want to be balanced. I think we were almost exactly run pass last year. I didn't think we ran the ball as well a year ago. A lot of that we got kind of wiped out injury-wise at the running back position later in the year a year ago. But we want to be a balanced team. And you know, we've kind of, you know, my background in always having some option now, that's probably been more replaced by RPO stuff. But, you know, we feel like we're in a position now at receiver in some places where we got a chance to stretch field a little more. But again, for us, we need to be balanced.
And so you mentioned your quarterback. He's off playing for a familiar name here in Mississippi. He was the OC at Ole Miss for a while, Rich Rodriguez. So tell us about his replacement. Who's going to line up at quarterback for you? And just tell us about him.
Well, we're probably going to play a couple of guys. You know, somebody asked me about my two deep. You know, Ole Miss this week told us they weren't going to release the two deep till Saturday. I said, well, we'll release ours on Saturday too then.
Good.
But, you know, we're going to probably play a couple of guys there. We got a kid, Carson Jones, who came in the conference championship game last year against Chattanooga when our guy went down in the first quarter. And he was a redshirt freshman. Now he's third year in our program. Played a great program, Maryville High School up there in Tennessee, that won all kinds of games. And, you know, not much different than what we've kind of been playing with. But, you know, good athlete, throws it well. Probably see another young guy. Actually, the only mid-year kid we had in was an early high school enrollee, Trey Hinton, a kid from Tampa, who we're really excited about. And, it's funny, for the first time probably in August, we had three guys we felt really good about. But I think we'll play with a couple guys. Their skill set's not much different, so I don't think you're going to see stuff change based on when they're in there. You know, so I think that thing's going to have to kind of play it out. We've had a good competition in August. And, you know, we'll have to trot one of them out there with the first group. I'm not sure we've quite made. If we've made it, we're probably not going to say it until he runs out there. But I think we'll play a couple of guys.
Hey, when we hang up, just tell me privately, and I'll make sure I protect that information. Yeah, you're not going to get, even if Ole Miss released the depth chart, you would have learned nothing from it. Kiffin does not at all volunteer any information. Like, he refuses to give you anything. A player could lose a leg on the field in front of everybody, and then he could be asked about it in the press conference, and his response will be, "Well, we hope he plays next week." Yeah. I mean, that's what he does.
I don't think there's probably a coach at Ole Miss that's lost any sleep this week worrying about who the quarterback's going to be at Furman. So we've got all the ones we started with, so we didn't lose anybody during August. So, I like the guys we have, and I think we can win and compete for a conference championship with the guys we have, and have a chance to make a run, and that's kind of our goal.
Real quick, you've been really generous with your time. I'm probably holding you way too long. I know that you guys are really busy and everything, but when you study the Ole Miss defense, so there's so much talk about the quarterback returning and Trey Harris and a guy that you're familiar with, Juice Wells, transferring from South Carolina, and not as much talk about the other side of the ball. When you see what Ole Miss does and Pete Golding does defensively, how can you try to attack that defense? What do you see from them?
Well, you know, you see Coach Saban. I mean, you see that Alabama mold. They're multiple. You can tell they're well coached. I think the biggest challenge for us in these kinds of games is our kids' ability to recover. You know, we could be playing a conference game, run the same play, block it the same way, and a guy doesn't make the play or a guy doesn't get off of a block, or a guy's out of position, he can't get back. And I think the difference for us in these kinds of games is just their ability to recover, you know, in space. And they just got all those things you're looking for. They've got length. They've got twitch. They can run. They're well coached. So I just, you know, there's just not a weakness there. And, you know, I think the age of college football, you know, you're blocking or you're prepping for, you know, multiple looks throughout the year, and most people have their system, and, you know, how well can you, you know, can we get a hat on a hat? And then we got to be able to win some of those one-on-ones, and our backs have to, you know, our running backs have to have the ability. Can we get them in some one-on-one situations to win some one-on-ones and then continue to do, you know, trying to keep them off balance a little bit as best we can, you know, and a lot of my career, the option was a phase of that. You know, we're just giving our guys a chance, you know, something they can go out and execute. And, you know, we talk a lot about just putting our kids in a position where they can play fast and, you know, not think, you know, because guys are thinking aren't playing fast. And we're not going to be the fastest team. We're not going to be the biggest team, but we got to play fast. And again, I think that's one of those things our game allows you to do. You know, when you get an older group of kids that play well together, allows you an opportunity to do that. There are no weaknesses anywhere, especially even in the kicking game, you know, which we think we've been really good at as well. So I wish I could tell you where those weaknesses, if you figure them out between now and then, let me know where they are.
Coach Clay Hendricks, thank you so much for your time. This has been remarkable. You're way too kind with your time, and keep it going at Furman. I've loved watching from afar. I regret that I haven't been able to get back to Paladin Stadium in a long time. It's been a while since I've been there, living out here in Mississippi. But keep up the great work, and safe travels this weekend, and I'll be watching for sure. And thank you again for your time. Really hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Clay Hendricks right here on the Rebel Report. This edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. If you're in the market for office technology and you are anywhere inside of the state of Mississippi, check them out again, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day, not only with their online banking platform, with local loan servicing and decision-making. So if you need a loan or you have a loan with them and you need it serviced, you don't hop on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. It's somebody in your backyard that you will sit down with face to face because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. So there was an article that came out. There's not a whole lot for us to like break down here in podcast form. I just want to encourage you to read it. Chris Lowe wrote a long piece about Lane Kiffin and his coaching transformation, really. There's more details that you probably already know anyway about why he ultimately told Auburn no and what has happened since then. His daughter is quoted in the story. Pete Golding is quoted in the story. Joe Judge has really interesting quotes in this story. There's an anecdote about how the current plan is for Knox to move to Oxford with him for next year, which, you know, if you're one of those people that's worried about him leaving, planning on his, I mean, having plans in the works to have his son also join him in Oxford kind of tells you that that's not exactly what they're planning on doing right now, is leaving anytime soon. It is a very, it's a very good article. Chris Lowe, it's long. It's a long read, but I promise you, you're all Ole Miss fans. You need to read it. You will really like what you have to read. Really good quotes that you really don't hear much. I mean, I don't think we've heard from Joe Judge at all. We certainly aren't going to get kid quotes about coaches very often. It's thorough. It's well done. And if you, for some reason, are one of the few left that are not completely bought in on what Lane Kiffin is doing at Ole Miss, this article will have you completely and totally bought in on Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss for sure. It's really, really good, and I would encourage you to read it. Usually the Thursday podcast will be focused on like game breakdown and predictions and stuff like that, but this week it's going to be more about you know, this conversation with Coach Hendricks, and we will be live after the game for the post-game show. So we'll break down everything that we see then together on Saturday night. I will also tomorrow bring you, we're actually on the show today going to visit with Chris Beard, Keith Carter, and Walker Jones. I will bring you all three of those interviews probably separately on this feed because they're three different topics, really, although they're connected, of course, but I will bring all of those to you as well throughout the weekend and into next week. So one of those will be uploaded in this feed for you tomorrow. We'll do post-game show on Saturday. We'll do weekend recap, talk about all the other games on Sunday. You'll get to hear our conversation with Beard, Jones, and Carter as well. So thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy your football. Football is back, finally, in Oxford, Mississippi. Hope you enjoy it. I'll see you guys a lot over the weekend.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.